think we're done, praise team. We've got a lot of things going on in the spirit realm. Listen closely. Open your heart. Open your ears on either side of your head, as well as the one in your heart, for the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, house of the Lord. Good to see the house getting fuller and fuller. People are feeling freer and freer to step out because God is in control and taking care of us. Amen. I want to say, first of all, how much I appreciate the ministers that God has raised up in this house. Brother Brian, Brother Ken, Brother Damon, Brother John minister so beautifully on the word every time they take the pulpit, and every time they're not in the pulpit, they're still ministering with their lives, with their encouragement. Some of you may not know that we don't have a schedule out, you know, for 3 months on who's going to speak when. And Pastor Richard doesn't say, okay, Brother Ken, you've got the first Sunday. Brother Brian, you've got the second. Brother John, you've got the third. Brother Damon, you take the fourth. If there's a fifth, I'll take it. Or I'm going to take them all unless y'all stop me. Or he doesn't put it out like that. He says, whoever has the word, let me know. And sometimes we don't know till Wednesday, you know, 6 o'clock. Brother Richard's like, okay, God, you got something to say? I'd sure like to hear it. And he'll get a text, and Brother John will say, I've got it tonight. And then Saturday evening, maybe at 10 o'clock, he'll get a text. Brother Brian says, I got it tonight, brother. It's been, I don't know, 2 years that it's been going that way or longer. Even when Pastor Jim was still the head here, still with us, it was that way for a time as we were stepping in while he was recovering. And I have never, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never seen two texts come in to vie for that message. I've got the word. No, I've got the word. Well, I've got a better word. Well, mine's better. Mine needs to be said first. You can wait till next week. I've never seen that happen. And in the beginning stages, when I would feel like I think I've got something to share Sunday, but go ahead and put the word out because I'm not sure, and if God's speaking through somebody else, that's what I want. And we would not get a text from anyone, and I would know, okay. And there was comfort for me in that, because it's like I was hearing, because that's what y'all were hearing. And that's what the ministers were hearing in their heart. And I just cannot tell you what a blessing it is to have ministers who listen so closely to the heart of God for you and for me. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What do you want? And there has never been a time, not even in no contest, just that two of them have said, well, I think I've got it. No, I've got it. Never. Was always one. I said, I've got the word, which meant the others heard, it's not for me this Sunday. It's not for me this Wednesday. And it's a beautiful thing to see ministers flow in that way. And it would be so much easier to just schedule it out every week. You take this one, you take this one. And at some point that may happen, I don't know. But how beautiful is it that all of these people will listen to God and know this one has the message for today? You need to understand that looking back over the last 2 years, God has specifically handpicked and appointed a special message for you every time we come together. That's pretty amazing. That should make you feel really special. And I will say that for the last 2 Sundays and then today, I have considered that my series was done and I was done, and who's got the next message? And God would put something in my heart, and I would say, well, I'm hearing this, but I, you know, what do you think, Pastor? And he would put the word out, and no one else would have anything, and tag, you're it. And then a couple of times I've known, okay, this is it. And so he did not say, you know, it's a flow. But I, you know, there are interesting boundaries that we have, places that we live, and this is my husband and my best friend, but he's also my pastor. And so there are times when God may speak something to me and I submit it to him and I say, Pastor, what do you see in this? And he'll pray about it and make that decision. So it's an interesting flow that we're all learning. It's been a while, but it still feels new and different. And as it would happen, I am up here again today. So if that's not what you want to hear, talk to God about it, because I know he wants to speak to all of us and meet us where we need to be met. But I challenge you to just thank God that he is handpicking messages for you every time we come together, and ministers are listening. And this is an awesome congregation. This is a congregation of strength and maturity. You are a congregation that blesses and that helps. It is not normal. I don't know if normal is the right word. It is uncommon that you find someone that would step into the pastorate in their 50s or 60s. Usually you start that really young. But we've had a lot of years in watching other ministers and pastors, and they talk about all the drama in their congregation and the issues that they have, and their schedule is so full of counseling because they have so many issues and problems and people and da-da-da, and that's just how it is. And we're like, well, I mean, we have people that have issues that they face, but you have chosen to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. And when you choose to do that, and you walk in his ways, and you choose his wisdom, and you choose the things that Pastor Jim taught to make it a part of your life, you have a foundation. You don't need as much counseling. You don't need as much ministry. You don't need somebody else to tell you what to do. And that is a blessing that Richard and I have inherited from Pastor Jim, of a beautiful, strong congregation who loves God, who is faithful. I love when issues came up, things came up with Corona, the word went down, you can't meet in your sanctuary, stuff happened. There was no question of whether or not we would have church. No question of whether or not we would gather. It's just how we're going to do it. We're going to take a sidestep here. We're going to do it live stream. We'll gather in our homes for a little bit. As soon as it was remotely possible, and maybe just a little bit before, we said, we're coming back together. We're going to be here. If you're comfortable with it, come back. If you want to wear a mask, fine. Whatever you need to do. We just want God's people back together. We were ready. We were not afraid. We did not have to encourage one another for 6 weeks. You're not going to die of Corona. Please don't worry about it. You're not going to die of Corona. Everybody was like, hey, I'm fine. But what do we need to do to satisfy the government? And what do we need to do to keep the body of Christ together? You are a rare congregation. You are a rare group of people. And, you know, turn around, pat your neighbor on the back. Say, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. And your Father is proud of you. Your Heavenly Father sees your heart to gather together when it's challenging. When you have the opportunity, you have an excuse. Y'all know that, right? I could sleep late today and watch live stream later, because they extended the stay at home till June the 15th. So I could sleep in today. You had what the world would consider a good reason, but you're here. You came anyway, and I commend you for that, and I appreciate it. And we love you guys more than you'll ever know. You are amazing, amazing, amazing. So let's just go before the Father before we jump into the message today. God, I thank you for these wonderful people that you have raised up. God, for this place called House of the Lord Fellowship Church that you had a vision for, that you raised up so many years ago through Pastor Jim, Father, and built a firm foundation so that we could stand and be what you've called us to be in the earth and do what you've called us to do. So, Father, we thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that is the foundation upon which we stand, that is our life and our health and our strength and our compass. And, Father, we thank you for planting and writing that word within our hearts and our minds, so that we would be your people, your sons and daughters, communicating directly with you, knowing you intimately, Father. That was your heart's desire. And we thank you that you've raised that up within us and within this house. And so today, Father, your family, your sons and daughters have gathered unto you. And God, we are listening today. We have ears to hear what you are saying. And we will follow your voice, and we will not follow the voice of another. And we listen intently for your words. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, teach us. Be our teacher today. Lead us into truth. I pray that we would all be filled with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord. The eyes of our understanding being open, the eyes of our hearts flooded with light. Father, that we would rejoice in the day that you've raised us up in this season, in this time. Father, that it is good, it is blessed, and it is exciting to be used of you in this time, in this season. And we are humbled and honored, Father, that you chose us. That you loved us from before the foundation of the world, and you have something to say to each and every one of us today. So we yield and submit to your word, Father, to your truth, and we will be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise as we see your blessings overtaking us every day. And everyone said, hallelujah. We had Tuesday night prayer on Thursday night this week. And I got to say that God is just as good on Thursdays as he is on Tuesdays. We had a wonderful time pressing in, hearing the heart of God, and then sharing with one another all the different things that he's saying to us individually and corporately. And God brought something out to me Thursday night that I had never seen before. You know, when you're raised in church, I mean, from, you know, 3 days after you're born, you're there every time they meet, and they met a lot. And we were always there. And so I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot of teaching, a lot of ministry, a lot of expounding on the Word of God. And that's no credit to me. That's a credit to my parents, because they kept me in the church and in meetings and listening. So I've heard a lot of things expounded about the end time, about the church, how it's going to go, what God is doing. But I'd never seen this before. And God took me to some scriptures, and I'm going to share them with you because I want you to understand what God is doing in this season. You know, he's doing different things at different places in each one of us, with our family, with our past, with our job, with our ministry, our calling, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But he's doing something corporately in the body of Christ. And it's important that we understand what he's doing so that we can see where we fit in that. And he started out just as I was praying in the Spirit. I was praying for you, and God would bring your faces before me, and I would just pray for you. I saw the compassion of God for his people. And he said, I am raising up here, house of the Lord, what needs to be done there? Well, my first thought was Africa or Botswana, because that's what God has put in my heart. But then he said, there is wherever he sends. It could be to the streets of Austin. It could be to the inner city of Chicago. It could be to some people going to be blessed, be called to Florida. You know, it happens. Wherever, here am I, send me. Wherever, though, or the Caribbean, right? I'll suffer for Jesus and St. Thomas. Wherever God calls you, he is raising up here what he wants to do there. If he's put you here, he's equipping you here for what he's going to do through you, wherever it is, whether it's your neighbor's house, whether it's your prayer closet. He is raising up here for what needs to be done there. And then he took me to Matthew 21 and 3. And don't be offended by this, but this particular passage is about when Jesus was going to make his, entry into Jerusalem. But anyway, he sent the disciples. He said, there's a donkey that's never been ridden. I want you to go and get it. And if they ask you, why are you getting this donkey? Tell them the master has need of it. The master has need of it. And, you know, we tend to think that God doesn't need anything. Whatever he wants, he can just snap his fingers and there it is, right? I mean, why couldn't Jesus just wave his hand and a donkey appeared? But that's not how he works in the earth. He works through men. because that's what he said he was going to do. He put us in charge. So he works through us. And he said, tell my people I have need of you. I have need of you. And so many people think it's humility to say, well, God doesn't need me because he can do whatever he wants to. I'm not needed. And that's a lie. That is a lie from the pits of hell that you are not needed, that God does not need you. God is complete in himself and has everything that he needs. No, he made you with a free will in hopes that you would turn your heart to him, because he needs you to do what he wants done in the earth. So that was the first thing that he said, I have need of you. You were born for a specific purpose, and God has been working in you and training you up to the age that you are. I remember, I believe it was Judson Cornwall, some of you may remember him long ago, a strong man in the faith, taught quite a bit, wrote a lot of books that were just amazing, Let Us Abide, Let Us Draw Near, Let Us Worship, Let Us Praise. And he was ready to go home, and he told God as such. He said, I am tired of suffering. He was going through physical issues. I'm ready to go home. And God said, if that's what you truly want, you can. But I need you to understand that I've spent, 64 years training you for specific purposes, and I need you to fulfill those purposes. And if you don't, I have to start over with somebody else in all the places that I needed you to speak. And from that, he recognized his importance and that everything that he had been through was for a purpose, because somebody that he was going to come in contact with, a group of people, a Bible school, a person in the grocery store, was going to be a divine appointment to change lives and set things in motions. That's you. That's you. God has been training you. Well, I'm only 14. Well, guess what? 14 years is a long time to have been trained in the ways of God. And so he wants us to be available for his purposes. Are we listening for that purpose? Are we willing to be used for that purpose? You know, maturity is when you wake up and realize it's not all about me. I need to help. It's wonderful if you wash your own dishes. Are you willing to wash somebody else's dishes? See, you start off, you're not washing any dishes. Everybody's washing and cleaning up after you. Eventually, you take care of yourself. But then maturity says, what does the house need? What do I need to do here for somebody else? Are you willing to have that purpose, to know God's going to take care of me and whatever's trying to work in me, I'm going to be used out here. God, what do you want me to do? That's where we begin to be useful. And have we submitted to that? He wants us ready so that whenever he looses us, how long was that donkey there? I don't know. Said he'd never been ridden. Just hanging around, tied to the wall, I guess. I don't know. They said unloose him. But as soon as he was loosed, he was ready for purpose, and he was used by God. Are you ready to be used? Some of you feel like you've just been tied to the gate for a while. But you know what? Your number's coming up. Your time is coming. Keep your heart right. Keep your heart right so that when it comes, God doesn't have to work you through stuff to make you usable. Amen? So God's preparing us for some really big things. We've heard him calling us away to pray. He said, come aside, come away with me, my beloved. Spend some time with me. Press in. Know my heart. Hear my voice. Know my voice so that you don't have to sit and flip a coin. Well, was that God or was that me or was that the devil or was that? Know my voice. Know me when you pray. It's a learning process. He's been bringing us into a place of submitting for intercession. We're still learning about that. We're getting a little more training on that on our Tuesday night prayer. So I encourage you to come out for that, because we're learning to submit to cover what he wants covered, however he wants it done. Not that we do it, but we submit to him. And that's an ongoing process. And we've learned how he's making us whole in this season. Because when you're about to be launched out to do some major activity, you're gonna be, they kind of go over you. Like if you've got a piece of equipment that's brand new and you're fixing to send it out, you're going to put it through its paces and make sure everything's working okay. because you don't want it to malfunction and mess up the job, but you don't want to malfunction a $6 million piece of equipment. Let's make sure everything's working, right? You don't want it to break down. God wants us whole when he launches us, when he looses us. He wants you whole. He's not trying to fix these crazy people. What is wrong with you? You have a problem. I need to fix you. That is not the heart of God. That is not the heart of God for you. I remember when he said, I don't roll my eyes at you, Michelle, because I'm thinking God's going, there she goes again. He said, no, I knew already this was going to be easy. This was going to be hard. And every time you mess up and every time you fall down, I say, that's all right. Come on, let's do it again. Come on, let's go. That is God's heart for you. He wants you whole so that when you go out there, like Jesus said, the enemy, he's got nothing in me. He has no power over me, and there is nothing in me that he can use. If you've got bitterness in you, if you've got anger in you, if you've got hurt from the past in you, I promise you that when you step out, the enemy is going to target that. So God wants it healed in you. So that when he tries to push your buttons, you're like, ha-ha, I got rid of that button. I don't have that one anymore. You can't get me there. Amen? It's for your protection. For your protection. God wants us whole. So God has need of you. The Master has need of you. Now I want to share with you what he said that he's doing. Some of you who were here on Thursday night, you heard a little bit of this. Don't unhook. It's some repetition. It's going to make it stronger in your heart. And then there's some more that God has shown me about it. But anyway, I was talking about all the things that I've seen and heard over my years taught. I've never really studied the book of Samuel. Do we have any book of Samuel experts in here? You've been through it front and back, top to bottom, up and down. Got it all? Okay, well, I won't fear showing my ignorance. But God took me there and he said, this is a picture of what I'm doing. And he took me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and that's where we're going to be going if you want to turn there or call it up on your device. And he was showing me the correlation between Eli, who was a priest in the temple, and the modern church that we have, and then Samuel and the remnant. And we're in, did I say 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, so backing up just a little bit, I'm sorry, into chapter 2, where in verse 26, I believe that's right. Correct me if I'm wrong. 1 Samuel 2:26. Now the boy Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. Who does that remind us of? It was said of Jesus that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. And then it says, a man of God, it doesn't tell us who, we don't know, but a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus has the Lord said, I plainly revealed myself to the house of your father, your forefather Aaron, when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house. Moreover, I selected him out of all the tribes to be my priest, to offer on my altar, to burn incense, wear an ephod before me. I gave to the house of your forefather all the offerings of the Israelites made by fire. Why then, and he's talking to Eli, why then do you kick and trample upon and treat with contempt my sacrifice and my offering which I commanded, and honor your sons above me? Honor your sons above me. There were a lot of things that they were doing. I'm not going to go into detail on that, on what his sons were doing. But we need to understand that in ministry, when we're believers, whatever it is that we're doing, there is an order of priority that God has. And number one is God. And no one comes above God. And this is where people confuse it sometimes. Number two is your family. Okay, your family is your first front for ministry. If you're called to be a pastor, you need to take care of your family first. Family first, and then the ministry. That is the way that God has designed it, so that nothing gets out of order. And you have to understand that what happened here is that he put what his sons wanted above what God said. Okay? That's a problem. You can't put what your husband or wife wants above what God said. Now, the way he brings it out, there may be some timing and some compromise on when and how, God, that you're going to get us into unity before you launch us into this, but you cannot say no, God, because of your family. That's where you have to be careful. Understanding how important family is and getting things in order, do you know that that's why God chose Abraham? In Genesis 18 and 19, God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord." He chose Abraham to bless him because he knew that he would pass that along to his family, because in the scripture it says, so that God could do what he wanted to do for Abraham. How's he going to make him the father of many nations if his kids are unruly and have no idea what's going on? It's a lineage thing. It's passed along. It's supposed to be when we honor God and we take care of our house. So Eli did not teach his children in the ways of reverencing God and obeying his word. He was more concerned with their comfort than their calling. He was more concerned with their happiness than their heart. Now, where am I going in this? I'm not meddling in your home. I'm talking about the church as a whole. If you will look in many churches today, we've seen for a lot of years what we call seeker-sensitive. Now, what they have said is, in order to bring new sons, new people into the body, new people into the kingdom of God, we want people to come to church. We want to tell them about God. We want to get you saved. We want you to be a son of God. But the little marketing research worksheet that we mailed out to all of the 500,000 people that live in your area says that you're offended when people talk about the blood of Jesus. So we're going to wash that out of the messages because we don't want to offend you. And it says that you get uncomfortable and offended when we speak in tongues and when people flow with a manifestation. So we're going to take that out too because we want you to be a son. Now, what have they done? They've put the comfort of the sons above what God said. I am not judging these people or their heart. I believe that many of them truly want people to come into the kingdom. But you've messed it up. There are a lot of parents that have unruly children because they really want those kids to grow up happy and healthy. And they haven't understood that boundaries are a part of that process. You have to be told no sometimes or you're not going to be very useful in society. So I'm not going to get off on parenting now, but understand that that's part of the message, because God is our Father, and he is parenting us. And he has said, these are the things that I do. And they look foolish. They look foolish to the world. It looks crazy. This is a bloody people. All of these sacrifices they offered, had to kill somebody so they could live. But that was the Father's plan. And we can't be ignorant of it. And we have to appreciate it and understand the importance of the blood of Jesus, that the life is in the blood, and that life was shed for us so that we can have life in our blood. That's how it had to be. We need to understand that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, in that learned men were in the marketplace and in the temple to pay their taxes in Jerusalem, and they saw these commoners who didn't have jobs or had lowly jobs and uneducated, unlearned men that they would normally turn their face away from and roll their eyes at them, and all of a sudden these men were speaking their language. Where did you learn that? Are you drunk? Yeah, like you can get drunk and all of a sudden speak German, you know, as if, right? But they were trying to figure out, how are these people doing these learned, educated things when they're not? And it's because it was coming out of their spirit. It was the flow of the Spirit of God that is much wiser than any education that you can get. And they saw it in the Bible, and they heard them speak with tongues and glorify God. Who are we to say, oh, that doesn't glorify God? We've placed our opinion above the word. God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that in his church, in his people. We've seen churches, and I've talked about this before, they've worked very hard to make their places comfortable and catchy and eye-catching and fancy and trendy, and they've got all the espresso machines and the comfy couches in the entryway and these beautiful things and these massive mansions that they've built, which are beautiful, and we'll have one. God has that intended for us, but not at the expense of His truth and His word. Not at the expense of what He has called us to and to be. And so we are seeing what the church has become. And there are those who have made it more about building an empire unto their name, more so than to the name of God. And there are a lot of things that I have seen called out specifically in words of prophecy by men and women that God is going to say, no more. I think it's important that we pay attention to those things. So He wants us taught according to the truth of His word and functioning together according to what we saw in the word. Where when we come together, someone has a psalm, someone has a song that we sing, someone has a word, someone has a tongue and an interpretation. That's what we do. Oh, that's spooky. That's what we do. It's not spooky when it's God. It's not spooky. It's not weird. It's not strange. And I know you know that here. So I'm not trying to tell y'all this is how you have to be, because we are that way. But understand, if you're like us and you don't get out a lot, you're not going to other churches a lot, they're out there. There are men and women whose names are household names that we're going to see some things, give them an opportunity to get it right and to get it straight. And I'm asking you to be careful who you listen to and be careful what you hook yourself to. Because God did not call us to be a company of believers who are, we're right up there on the next book, the latest bestseller. We've heard every tape. We listened to all the big names. I know what everybody else has to say. What is God saying to you? And sometimes we need to take a break from this book and that book and this tape and that tape, and I'm listening to this one and listening to that one, and just pull myself aside and say, God, what are you saying? Now, that's a scary place, because you have to be confident in your ability to hear and more confident in His ability to speak to you. And it's so much easier to just listen to the name of the month, the best teacher that you like, the one that speaks to those things that you feel like you need to hear. There are times that God will hook you up with that, but you understand that it is also a mark of maturity when you prepare your own food. Okay? I'm not buying Cocoa Puffs off the shelf all the time. I'm preaching to myself. I'm actually cooking something, taking just the raw ingredients, making something fresh. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? This is not a quote from anybody else. This is you. What are you doing? That's the church that God wants. And He'll raise up voices, and there are people that He wants us to listen to. I am not saying that it's wrong to listen to other ministries and other teachers and listen to tapes from here and things that have been spoken. It is not wrong. It is only when it takes the place of your ability to get before God and say, but what do you want me to know today? What do you want me to hear? That's the church that God is looking for. That's the church that He wants. And people have been catered to and coddled. But I don't see anybody in the Word that was trained that way. If you go through the Old Testament and you look at the training for some of those prophets, whoo, I heard one time an acronym for PIT, Prophet in Training. Some rough times that they went through. But man, when they got into their ministry and what God was doing and they were blessed, they were solid gold. There was no impurity in them because it had been beaten out of them sometimes. But God wants us whole and He wants us functioning healthy. Amen? Okay, let me see if I can move along a little faster. So we want to produce sons who will carry on the family name with integrity and competency. Amen. So let's look now, as we talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We've seen that someone came to Eli and gave him a word. God said what he was going to do because of what Eli was doing. Now, I don't know exactly how much time lapsed here. It might have been a year or two. I'm not sure. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we start hearing about this boy Samuel. What I want you to understand about Samuel is that he was an answer to prayer. He was an answer to someone's prayer. Hannah, who had not borne a child to her husband, was grieved, and she went to the temple and prayed to the extent that the priest thought she was drunk. And he says, "Woman, why don't you put the bottle away?" Flask, I think he said. And she said, "You don't understand. My heart is grieved because I have not borne a child to my husband, but I am asking you that if God would grant me this child, I will give him to the service of the Lord all his days." Samuel was an answer to prayer. And when he was born and when he was weaned, she brought him and gave him to the temple for service to the Lord. He was an answer to prayer. He was desired. He was wanted. Just like you. You are an answer to someone's prayer. Somebody somewhere needs what you know, what you have, who you are, where you've been. You are an answer to prayer if you will allow yourself to be that and let God lead you where that answer needs to function. Amen? The Lord has need of you. In verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision." I see some correlation. We hear a lot of people with a lot of good knowledge, interesting things and facts that they've gleaned about the scripture and definitions and things like that. But what is a now word from God? What is God saying right now? A lot of people would be hard-pressed to answer that. Not the people here, I know, but a lot of people would in churches. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had dimmed so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was lying down. I did some research on this, and most people say that that was a reference to the time of day that it was, that the lamp had not yet gone out, so it was not early in the morning. It was sometime in the middle of the night. Some people draw a correlation between the light of Israel and whether or not it's going out. I'm going to let other people make that call, but it was sometime, because of that, it was sometime during the night where they'd already gone to sleep. And verse 4 says, "When the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am,' Samuel ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And Eli said, 'I did not. I did not call you. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I. You did call me.' And Eli answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.'" I want you to see the correlation there, that God is raising up people and calling people in this time. And sometimes our first instinct is to go back to what we're familiar with, where we're familiar with. We go back to what we think God wanted to do, and we think, "Oh, God wants me to pastor a big church like so-and-so." Or we think, "God wants me to go to Bible school." That's the first thing people think. "God's calling me. I need to go to Bible school." That is often, not always, often man's institution for passing down knowledge and historical data. It has nothing to do with a calling on your life. So we need to be careful when we hear God calling us. "Oh, that means I'm supposed to go be a missionary," or "I'm supposed to go do this." We tend to hearken to what we're familiar with when God calls and think, "Oh, that must be it. He's calling me. Oh, I'm probably supposed to be involved with the ladies at church." Well, you are supposed to be involved with the ladies at church, but that may not be your calling. Callings are varied and in many different places, and two of us may have the same call, but one is here and one is there. So being careful that we don't run back to what we're familiar with and say, "Oh, there's a calling. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like so-and-so. I'm going to be like so-and-so." Well, what if God just wants you to be like you? You know, he's not trying to make you like anybody else. Just whatever he called you to be, just be you, because everybody else is already taken. And if there's two of anybody, one of you is redundant and unnecessary. And we don't want anybody to have to go home. So be who God called you to be. Understand that it may be different than what you've seen, than what you've experienced, and let Him shape that in you. So, God is calling Samuel. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived, there was enough in him still that he perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This time Samuel was ready. He had his heart right. He had some understanding there. He had his focus in the right place. And he responded to God with a willing heart. That's where we've been in 2020. Samuel, Samuel. And we've said church. We've said busyness and do this and do that. And he said, "No, Samuel, Samuel." "Oh, that's you, Lord." And he said, "I want to speak to you." And we've had to quiet all those other things within us, all the things that we want to jump and get busy with, all those things that we want to do, that we had to do. Some of them were just taken away. They said, "I'm sorry, you can't come to the office anymore. And I guess I have to stay home." We've been called to a place of listening. We've been called to a place of hearing and saying, "Okay, God, I'm putting it all aside. What is it you want?" We've been in the middle of that opportunity to hear God's voice. And the Lord told Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel." Ooh. Remember Joshua? When he said, "Consecrate the Lord in you, consecrate yourselves this day, for tomorrow I will do great things among you." That was an exciting time. Well, it's a little different for Eli. This was a different thing that he was going to do. So the Lord told Samuel in verse 11, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear it shall tingle." I love that. Several times in the Word, God says, both ears of all who hear it will tingle. Big deal. That means that when you look that up, what that colloquialism, I guess you would call it, what that means is that people are going to be ashamed and fearful at what they're going to hear. This is not a good thing, okay? But he's telling Samuel, "On that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I announce to him now that I will judge and punish his house forever for the iniquity which he knew. For his sons were bringing a curse upon themselves, and he did not restrain them." There is a call to leadership right now in the church that you need to rise up and be what I've called you to be, and you need to bring your sons in line. There are many kingdoms that men have built unto themselves, and they've raised up sons to serve themselves. "I'll be your father, but you got to give me X amount of money a month. I'll be your spiritual elder, but you've got to take care of my needs. And if you're not paying into my ministry, I'm not going to look over you." There are a lot of things that these leaders in the church, and I don't know names. I don't have any faces in my head when I say this. Understand, I've just heard this from God, that they have brought up sons in the ministry, but they have not taught them the ways of God. And God says, "I'm calling it. I'm calling you in on it now." That's what is happening in the church today. That's what God is doing. And he said, "I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house will not be atoned for." He had reached the point of no return. Understand, this was before grace, before the blood of Jesus. And God was like, "That's it. I can't bless this anymore because it's going to grow into something that blasphemes my name." And Samuel lay there till morning, verse 15, and he opened the doors of the Lord's house, and he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that God told you? Don't hide it from me. May God do to you what he says if you hide anything from me." Now, that tells me that he knew something not too good was coming. He said, "I don't know what God told you, but whatever he told you he was going to do to me, may he do to you if you don't tell me." I think he kind of knew. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." This is twice now that he's been told, he's been warned. Someone has come to him. And then this one that he's raising up has come to him. And he said, "Yep, that's God." Did he change? No. Did he repent? Did he show any remorse? Did he say, "I'm going to try to get it right. God, if you have to require my life of me, so be it. But please help me change my sons and get this right." We've seen in the Old Testament men that turned to God where he said, "You're fixing to die." And they repented and they prayed before him. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you 10 more years or 15 more years, whatever." Eli said, "Well, whatever has to be." Maybe he didn't really believe. Maybe he really thought, "Well, God will extend this." Maybe he thought, "Well, it's not really going to happen that way. You know, God's merciful." I don't know. But we see two times where God warned Eli and said, "This is going to happen." And he shrugged it off. There are going to be some churches that don't listen. There are going to be some men or women of God who are going to blow off the warning that they hear. They're going to have the opportunity to change and they won't. But we can't be stopped by that. We can't be stayed by that. We have to know that the word of the Lord will continue and be done. So I'm just telling you, if you see things happen, don't be amazed and surprised, and know that God is merciful. And he's not just going to sweep in one day and knock somebody off the platform. He's talking. He's wooing, he's speaking, he's drawing, he's warning, he's challenging. And at a certain point, he says, "Okay, we've got to move on." And if you haven't answered the call and if you haven't heeded the warning, then you don't get to go. You don't get to be in that next wave, that next phase. We've heard that for a lot of years here at House of the Lord Fellowship Church. I can remember when we were still on I-35 before we changed the orientation of the sanctuary, so in the early years, and God said there's a coming a time when it will be time for the people of God to run and take the message, and there are those of you who will excitedly grab onto that, but those of you who will not will be trampled. That was the word of the Lord. There was a choice, and we've seen people fall away. And I've seen all you guys keep hanging around saying, we're not quitting. We're not going anywhere. We're staying. We're right here, God. We're right here, God. We're right here at your heart, God. That's what you said. That's why you're still here. Yeah, it was a long time ago, but, you know, it was a lot of years that Jesus was prophesied into the earth before he was actually born of a virgin. Right after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. But there is one coming. He's coming. And for hundreds of years, he was coming and coming and coming and coming. But guess what? The day came. And I'm telling you that you have the opportunity to say, "Yeah, I've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, they said that before." They did, and will continue to say it as long as God says it. But I believe we are on the cusp of that happening. We are going to be a part of running with what God has put in us. Amen? Amen. So he told him all of those things, and Eli did not take it seriously, didn't do anything about it. But in the meantime, the word continues to go forth. Romans 11:5 says, "So too at the present time there is a remnant, a small believing minority, selected and chosen by grace, by God's unmerited favor and graciousness." It is the season of the remnant. What is a remnant? A remnant is that which is left of the original. Okay? That which has not allowed itself to be cut away or cut off or to be changed in any way, but it is what is left of the original. And so we go back to 1 Samuel 3 and verse 19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. If you will heed the word of the Lord and step out in what he has called you to, he will back you up. He will back you up, even when you mess up. When you're stepping out with a pure heart and you're doing what he's called, if you make a mistake, he's going to pick up the words that you've spoken, and he's not going to let people see you fail. I have sung before the most horrible song. My voice cracked through the whole thing. It was awful. So embarrassed. Want to run away, but, you know, you try not to, so I stay. At the end of the church, people would come and say, man, that was awesome. I was like, oh, man, my voice cracked. I didn't hear your voice crack. I didn't hear anything wrong with it. God was taking care of me in the midst of my mess-ups. God will back you up if you're not afraid to stand in his word and step out and do what he's called you to do. Amen? And it says, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Remember the word that says, and I don't remember the address, I'm sorry, but after you've suffered for a little while, the Lord will strengthen and settle you and establish you. God will let people know this person hears from God. That's not just for preachers and ministers. That's for his people. I want to establish you and let the world know that you speak for me. And he will bless you and he will cause you to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. Amen? He wants his church wrapped in that favor. So that message is here from 1 Samuel to give us an understanding of what God is doing in the earth today, why it was important to come away, why it was important to listen, why it was important to allow God to work on things inside of you, because we're about to come to something new, something different. And it's wonderful for those people who are following after the heart of God, but it's going to be challenging for those who have, as the word has said, had itching ears and they've looked for teachers to teach them and what they wanted to hear. It's not going to get you anywhere. It might make you happy where you sit, but not for long. Then you're going to have to find somebody else and somebody else, because only the true word of God satisfies. Amen? And there is a line in the sand that is being drawn. And those who will step forward, step up, listen up, straighten up, draw close to God and be obedient, we'll see God do amazing things in our midst. And like Joshua, the waters will part and the masses will cross over safely from the wandering and even from Egypt and come into the salvation and knowing God, because we were there to step in and to see those waters part. But those who will not, who put it off, who just never get around to listening to God or don't really believe that he's going to make a separation of this, are going to meet a different fate. They are lukewarm. Now, what happens to lukewarm? What did God say? I'm not taking that in. I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I'm not pronouncing a judgment of hell, that sort of thing, on any of these people. They're children of God. But he always has a place where there's a scripture that it talks about, I did deliver those out of Egypt and into the promised land. But then you notice that I also allowed to die those who did not believe in me. Okay? So you have to understand that as merciful and as gracious as God is, there are times when he draws a line in the sand and says, if you don't believe, then you will perish in the wilderness. That's what God said. They did not go forward and accomplish great things for God. So, this was really heavy for me Thursday night when God showed me this. It was amazing. It was new. It was fresh. It was heavy. And earlier that day, we had had a meeting with Brother Rudy and Jody and talked about some things, prayed together. And he said, I got a video that's really been in my heart that I want to share with you. And so he sent it to me. And I want you to watch it now, guys, if y'all have that video ready, get it ready. I want you to watch this video and imagine how I felt, how you would feel when I began to see this that was said years ago. It's about 8 minutes, so it's not too long. Have we got it?
something supernatural that's beyond human comprehension. In fact, what the Lord's doing right now is going to affect the whole world in these last days. And here's what it is. He's preparing a very small but most powerful army of dedicated Christians who are more dedicated than anybody who followed Hitler. They were considered to be among the most loyal people on the face of the earth. But folks, this army that God is raising up is going to be the most dedicated army on the face of the earth. Never before anyone is pure, devoted, and fearless as this remnant that's coming forth. They're going to come forth and do exploits, and they're going to shake hell, literally. This new army is going to be made up of handmaidens of the Lord. It's going to be made up of servants of the Lord, ordinary Christians who lay hold of God, and God lays hold of them. And a whole new realm of service, a whole new realm of the moving of the Holy Spirit is about to break forth. Much of God's plan that I want to share with you can be found in 1 Samuel. He's going to raise up a Samuel company. Hallelujah. The Holy Remnant. Verse 11, chapter 3. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. It's going to be a shocking thing that God does. This new thing is going to amaze and startle. It's the judgment of God on an old religious system and the raising up of a whole new program of the Holy Ghost. That's what you see in 1 Samuel. It's all about the death of an old church religious system and the birthing of a new holy remnant. I want you to keep in mind that what God did in Samuel's day, he keeps doing in every generation. In every generation, when the so-called church, the organized church, backslides and gets cold and compromising, God just gives up on it and raises up another. He's always had a people after his heart. He's always had a praying people in every generation. And that's called the remnant. All through the ages, there's been a remnant. But all this remnant that's coming is going to be beyond anything the world has seen. In 2nd chapter, beginning at 27th verse, write down the rest of the chapter. This prophet looked at Eli, and he said, Behold, the day is coming. I'm going to cut off your arm. I'll cut off your arm. So I'm going to quit this house at Shiloh. I'm going to remove my presence. I'll make you powerless. I'll judge your wicked pastors. I'm going to pronounce Ichabod on you. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. But God is saying, I'm giving up on Shiloh. I'm giving it up, and I'm going to give it over to the hands of the enemy. Folks, that's exactly what's happening in America and the world today. The organized religious system has been turned over to the enemy. The enemy. There are going to be men standing in the pulpit that are going to give the people what they want. If you've got idolatry in your heart, you're going to wind up in a church with a preacher with idolatry in his heart. And that preacher's going to minister to that idol that's in your heart. He's going to tell you it's okay to sin. It's all right to be a sports fanatic and not pray or seek the face of God. You can go to many churches, even Pentecostal churches, and it's death. God's not there. God's gone. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In other words, we're safe. We're in no danger. We're not going to lose our salvation. The prophet says, go back now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. While the church of Eli was under judgment and being forsaken by the glory of the Lord, God was busy raising up a remnant. Samuel represents the holy remnant. And I want to show you how God trained Samuel to come up to take the place of this dead religious system. How God had a plan. And this is what God's going to do. This is what he's doing right now. He's training many of you. I believe when I'm finished, you'll be able to know whether or not you're a part of this remnant that he's raising up to do his work in the last day. The remnant is always birthed in prayer and intercession. Always. Hannah birthed Samuel to bitter tears and much prayer. Listen, please. If you're going to seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, you're going to feel the pain and the grief of God for his church. You're going to suffer consequences. You're going to be misunderstood on all sides. You're going to have people accuse you of all kinds of things. Hannah prayed, if you give me a man child, I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And the word, the name Samuel means God heard my prayer. That's what Samuel means. Folks, God's hearing the prayer.
prayer of a people in his house, a people who yearn for an outpouring of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a people who yearn for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their sons and their daughters, a people who want to see the glory of the Lord come down on his church, a people who want to see God move in a very special way in these last days. God's going to hear their cry. So these are people who are really on their face seeking him. These are people who are pouring their heart out to God. And there were people that were given, according to Hannah, given to the Lord all the days of their life. These people are so committed, there's no thought of backsliding. There's no up and down, in and out, hot and cold. They are wholly given to the heart of God. Do you know that Samuel was such a man of prayer? And all the people said to Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. Folks, there's going to be a praying remnant that people will go, not for counseling, but for prayer. God wants to raise up prayer warriors who've touched heaven. And the training of the remnant is going to be trained to know the voice of the Lord. God called, he spake to Samuel. He wasn't speaking to Eli. God's trying to raise up an army of people who know his voice, who hear from him directly. And what was the first thing God told Samuel? God implanted in Samuel, and he's doing it in the remnant. He planted a vision of God that says, God will not put up with sin in his house. I want to show you my hatred for sin in my house. I want to show you my hatred for compromise in the ministry. I want to show you what it's going to take, Samuel, to hear my voice and walk with me. The time is coming. The time is coming when people are going to want to hear this word from heaven. Folks, if you want to hear from God, God will speak to you. That means you don't go into his presence carrying your load of sin with you. You allow God to deal with that sin. You allow God to take that temper away from you and sanctify it. You ask God to do what he has to do in your life. The Bible said men's hearts will fail them for fear watching those things coming on the earth. Folks, it's going to be beyond anything we could imagine. But there's going to be a holy remnant that are steadfast and sure, unmovable. You come here now that God would put divine principles in your soul and fire you up and get you off the fence and get you seeking his face and deal with sin in your heart. Oh, folks, get into this book. Get into this book. Get along with God. Let him begin to speak to you. Are nothing the things that are despised. And I shall raise them up and anoint them. I'll send them forth to do exploits in my name. Volunteer your soul, body, and spirit, and mind. Cry out to the Lord. Here I am, send me. I will lay hold upon you, and I will anoint you, and I'll open doors for you, and I will stir your heart, and you will know me, and you will know my voice, and I will use you to glorify my name. You will never have a name, but my name will be glorified through your lips and your heart. You'll never be recognized, but I'll recognize you. And on that day, I will reward you because you were faithful to the call.
That was, as you saw listed there, David Wilkerson, mighty man of God, several years ago prophesying this. It's a compilation from a longer message that they put together. You can find it on YouTube. But is God stirring you? Is he stirring something within you? Maybe you're not even sure what it is. Is he calling you away? Are you hearing him more and more saying, come and seek my face? Know my heart and know my ways. He is doing that with all of us. Are you listening? He wants more of you. Because the more of you that he has, the more of you he can pour out. The more that you come to him, the more he can send you out. The Lord has need of you. And he says this day, if you will listen, those of you who will hearken, those of you who will obey, those of you who will press in and seek my face, I'm going to send you out. And you'll go out, Isaiah 55 says, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And there may be turmoil all around you, but there will be peace inside of you because you know what you're doing and why. and the mountains and the hills will break forth before you, the authorities and the strongholds of the enemy that would try to say, no, you can't have church anymore. They've said that in our country. I never thought I would see it happen. Oh, it's because it's for your safety, to protect you. But those authorities and those strongholds that would come against the church in any part of the nation, God wants to send you to them, and they will break forth and bow before you. You know, the word says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And that scripture in Isaiah 55 says, the trees of the field will clap their hands. You are the answer to someone's prayer. They are looking for you to rise up and be that remnant that will speak boldly the word of the Lord without fear and watch peace come because of the goodness of our God. It is His goodness. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you are stirred? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're stirred, stand up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me just a minute. Satoru bakasha rakasiri de basata. Nekotoro matatara masishtiri arekuro koshotiri. Elemano koshore ke sidere de basa taraba koshotodegi. Elemana masoto romanda sidere de basatari. Kitere barosotore kishteno mosura mandere de leleki. Nesoro baraka sharabata satara basatotoku. Sikara mandore kishtene makasatara batara basatara bedididi. Ele monono karra mandare kiriri assorro passata rarara. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sorro barre kistire no kora ma karringi di kide canasto non rakidi. Kede ma kushto rakiti passato rosso dor rakiti. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Father, we come before you and I thank you, Father, that you are touching hearts. You are stirring hearts right now in this place. Holy Spirit, I loose you by the words of my mouth and the authority that you have given me. I loose you, Holy Spirit, to infiltrate every life, every heart in this building and all of those watching by live stream. All those who are hearing, it may be 2 days from now, it may be next week that they're hearing this right now. Holy Spirit, I charge you to change, to affect change in every life that you are stirring right now. I loose you, Holy Spirit, and I give you free reign in this place. I give you free reign in every heart and every life that will open to you and that will look to you and be changed by you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I say now, be filled with the presence of God. Be filled with the glory of God. Be filled with the strength of God. Be filled with the majesty of God. As a remnant, as a witness, as a carrier of the change that this world needs. You are the change. You are the remnant. You are the called of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is now free and loosed to change your life. To change your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yes. It has been a commission for quite some time in this house that the Lord said to make a place for the anointing. Make a place for the anointing. I'm going to make a place right now. Down front, if you want to come, if there are things you need to pray and talk to God about, if you need to agree with someone in prayer and something in your life, if you're not sure you're in that right committed place, if you're not sure that you're a child of God, if you just want to be in that place where the anointing is, if you just want to be a carrier, you want to step out and be used of God, I'm asking you to just come forth, come forward. If you have to leave, you have commitments, we understand. But we're just going to spend a few minutes down here making a place for the anointing. I don't have a word for anybody. But if you just want prayer, or if you just want to come down here and pray for a few minutes and just be around some other anointed believers and allow yourself to be stirred. Ministers, I'm going to ask you to come and pray for those who present themselves to you for prayer. But the rest of you, if you would just gather. And let's come a little closer together and just spend a few minutes making a place for the anointing and praying in the Spirit and see what the Lord wants to do as He stirs us.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Carlo Masata Rapazidi. Seto Roque Tedidi Basata Rava. Halala Masur Mandarakidi Setio Robo Sototo. Keto Sodora Basidi de Makoto Kanekini Sidi de Besatu Rosso. Shotura Barreke Sidi de Deca Namakushon Lukusi. Se robo reke stide di ela corona na na chi se ne ne mandò d'onda di che te ora barra bessi di diede che io sotto la della bassa tata stide di bisi di piti che te della masson d'urro parre che di die. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. While others are being ministered to, I just want you to know that we are going someplace. God, and it's all by God's design. He has chosen us. And this is not, it's probably not anything new that you've heard today. It's been said over House of the Lord for many, many, many years. And we thought it would be a particular way and a particular method. But God is changing everything. God is changing everything. And we don't even know how or to what extent. But I know that when we're opened, when we're listening, when we're obedient, God will take us to great, great places. And we're going together. Amen. We're going together. We're going together. Remember, on Tuesday night, we've got prayer meeting. We're just going to pick right up where we leave off today. Well, we're not leaving off today. I want you to carry this with you. Continually be listening in your heart for the voice of the Lord. But come back Tuesday night at 6:30, just an hour and a half that we're here, just praying, fellowshipping with God. Then Wednesday night we have our regular assembly. Sister Annie Rogers' funeral on Saturday at 11 o'clock here. Sign-up sheets in the foyer for food for the family. So be sure to be a blessing there. And then, of course, we'll be back next week. And then continually be praying for our ministry anniversary celebration. That's going to be another big step. It's going to be another big step. And I think great things are going to come out of that. And I'm very excited about that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ministers, does anybody have a word or a exhortation?
Two things, specifics and adjustment. Specifics, God told Moses, have the people build the tabernacle just the way I showed it to you on the mountain. As God is speaking to you, as God is dealing with you in this time and in this season, be sure to obey him specifically. Be sure to follow him specifically. Whatever he is putting in your heart, don't, as Pastor Michelle said, allow yourself to fall into how it's usually done, how it's usually been seen. No, there is a specific, unique thing that God has in you and for you, a specific call, and there is going to be a specific tone that it carries. There's going to be a specific message. The operations of it is going to be very specific. The way it's built is going to be very specific. The way people hear it, see it, view it is going to be very, very specific. And it's that specific flow that God has through you, because God needs that piece in there exactly the way he shows it to you. So be mindful of not just what, but how he puts it on the inside of you, how he shows it to you, and be careful to build it exactly the way, little things and big things, exactly the way he showed it to you in that mountain of prayer. The second thing, adjustment. What happens many times when God starts dealing with you, particularly a person who's been kind of doing things on their own without connecting with God, they've kind of been plodding along in life doing things on their own, and then God deals with them, God speaks to them about a certain thing. It happened with the Apostle Paul. Paul's doing his own thing, and God speaks to him and deals with him in complete change. Be ready to make the adjustment, because what happens sometimes is that the mind kicks in and goes, I've invested so much time in this direction that I've been going. I've invested so many brain cells into this. I've invested so much time, so much money in going in this direction. I've been going in this direction for years. I have socialized the direction that I've been going. Everybody knows I've been going in this direction. I have made plan after plan after plan for years that I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to, without consulting God. But now God deals with you and speaks to you in that moment, in that time. Be ready to make the adjustment, even if you have spent time, brain cells, hours, socialization, money, and going this direction. Paul says, now, guess what? Now that this adjustment is here, I count it all rubbish so that I may embrace the thing that God truly has for me.
Amen.
Praise God. Real quick, we were praying. I just had a vision, and I saw a fire. And you know how when a fire has been burning for a long time, it looks like it's about to go out, but you hit it with the tongs and that fire reignites because there's still some spark. Some of you, as Pastor Michelle was sharing, you might have felt, well, I don't really have anything left to give. I've given as much as I know, and God wants to use me. God is rekindling that flame that you thought had been ignited out. God is saying, no, I still want to do more in you. I'm still doing more in you, but allow me to reignite that flame that I began in you. It's not dead. It's not died out. I'm just rekindling it. Allow that process to take place. And I guarantee you, you're going to see that flame ablaze like never before, but allow the Lord to stoke what he began in you, because just like Pastor Michelle said, that word is such an on-time needed word for this time. He has need of us, but we have to allow the process to be completed that he has began. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I've always loved sitting around a fire, either talking or just watching the fire. I love just being around a campfire or whatever, poking it, knocking some of the embers off of the wood that hadn't burned yet, poking at it, just messing with it. Poke, 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 poke. I'm poking you now. Poke, 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 poke. All you pokers over here. Certainly.
God just wanted me to say that more and more as we pursue this, that his glory is going to fall on this house, you know. So let's be ready, you know, for that, you know, because when I saw that, it was an awesome sight to see, seeing the glory cloud, you know. So I can only imagine how the anointing is going to be.
I hear the Lord saying that you need to stop comparing yourself to those that you consider leaders. Everybody has to come up. But if you'll walk the walk that God has called you to, if you'll see yourself as he sees you and not compare yourself to others, you will do what he has called you to do. Stop allowing fear to hold you back. Stop saying, but I'm not a Brother Ken, I'm not Pastor Michelle. Be who God has called you to be. And if you hear him, as Pastor Richard said, if you start hearing him and doing what he says, you'll do amazing things and you'll fill your portion, your spot that you're supposed to be in this house.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for coming. Anybody? All right. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are surrounded with divine favor and grace from the Lord God Almighty, and that he directs your steps. He has called you. He is equipping you for his glory to be revealed and manifested in the earth. You are the light of the world, and you bring light into the darkness. And there seems to be a lot of darkness lately, but we are the light. We can go in and make a difference. Everything you put your hand to is blessed because of the favor of God, because of the glory of God in your life. When we follow after him, you are blessed financially, spiritually, physically, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. You are free to go. We'll see you on Tuesday night.